Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, June 20th, and Danny is going somewhere today. she's flooring everybody.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I'm floored. You never heard of that?
No.
I like fell on the floor being like amazed.
Oh, well, that's sweet,
something
Sam.
Like that. Yeah.
Thanks.
You never heard the
no.
thing, I was floored?
That must be like an old school saying, because nobody say
right.
that these day and age.
You're right. You keep reminding me how old I am. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, no, you look ravishing this morning.
Thank
Not
you.
That you don't always, but you know
yeah.
when you put on your
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, when I bring it up 20 notches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How long does it take to get ready like this?
Well, my hair's curled, so that didn't help. So that was like an hour in itself. Ugh.
Just the hair?
Yeah.
Wow. So you...
Makeup 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I see. I mean, if it takes you an hour and 20 minutes, I can see why you don't want to do it every day.
No, I would never.
Yeah, it's
crazy. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But today, obviously, you have to impress someone.
Yeah, so I'm meeting with an agent.
Really?
Yeah. Hopefully, he can get me some work.
Yeah. Legitimate work.
Yeah.
If it's another one of those that try to take advantage of you, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm meeting him at a cafe.
Throw him out the window. Oh, good. Well,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good start.
Yeah, I'm not meeting
Why,
him at like an apartment.
Why, doesn't have an office?
I don't know. Oh, you know what it is? He's yeah. flying out somewhere at noon. And I was like, well, I'm on air till 11, so meet me at
okay.
a cafe right down the street, because then he'll have like 45 minutes to talk to me.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I'm wishing you the best. And
thank you.
Hopefully... This will be like a legitimate thing.
I know.
Stop.
Fingers crossed.
With all their garbage.
I know. Well, he actually represents one of my friends.
Oh, really?
And he's always booked and busy, so hopefully.
So he comes recommended, would
yeah,
you say? Oh,
basically.
Okay, good. So it's not a stranger.
No. He actually like put me onto him, so hopefully it works out.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. We're mm-hmm. happy about that. And... So this is an agent for what? Like you're looking for more reality shows and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, reality shows, movies, whatever I can
yeah,
get at this point.
Do you think
point.
You can act if you had to?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll be acting to myself in the shower and I'm like, you got this, girl.
Is that like singing in the shower?
Yeah, but you act instead.
Thinking you're Taylor Swift or something.
Yeah.
In the shower, it always sounds great. In the car too, you
yeah.
know? Until you go.
No, I can't sing at all.
Yeah.
No, not even remotely close.
Yeah.
To being a good singer.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember when you act, you have to be somebody else, not you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yikes.
I'm just reminding you.
I know. I'm really good at being myself.
Because you said you're good at being yourself.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I think I could do it though. Like if they gave me a script and enough time, I could probably master
yeah.
the character if I can really like focus in on. Who exactly that person's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because I've been through a lot in my life. I feel like I could play like a psychopath.
That's true. But you should go to a class or two just to know what the hell you're dealing
yeah,
with.
Yeah, maybe if the class was free because I'm not paying for one. Nope.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. I'm not paying $500 for somebody to teach me how to act.
Well, okay.
I'll watch YouTube for that.
Then get to the end of the line. You know, there's 5 million people.
Do you know how many
people
make it in this industry and they have never taken an acting class? It's just right place, right time.
Yeah. Well, maybe if they have special talent, maybe you do have that. I don't
have you
know.
Ever been on Netflix? But have you ever watched the movies on Netflix? There's so many trash actors.
Really?
If they can do it, I can do it too.
That's why I
always
watch
think
it.
That. I watched, so on Sunday I was hungover and I was watching like binge watching Lifetime movies and it was like a psycho marathon. It was like all psycho movies and I was like, yo, every single one that I watched, the acting was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Really?
So if they can make it, Sam, so can I.
Yeah. Do you remember we had the actress here was from Europe and she was in Expendables 3?
Yeah, okay. Natalie Byrne.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow, you're...
I never forget okay. a name.
Well, I didn't want to bring up the name because it's not something very complimentary, I'm going to say, but...
Oh,
the thing
shit.
Is, I looked for her in the movie. I watched the whole movie, right?
Yeah.
She had exactly 2 seconds there where she kind of walks out to Mel Gibson, pulls him into the house, like welcome home type of thing, and that was it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's hardly a part in The Expendables 3. Come on.
I never watched that series of movies.
Yeah.
But she said she was out there filming for like 2 months.
Really? For 2 seconds?
Maybe she filmed more and they only used that, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah, that's true. But still, how much? She was just a girl that's not a character
and
in the movie.
Did you watch her other movie, Executioners?
No. But that one you said wasn't that great.
No, that movie was...
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, the movie was good.
So it's the reviews I read that were like...
I mean, it got terrible. Like 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I enjoy myself a crappy movie here and there. She did good, though. She played a psychopath.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. But it was just one of those movies where you knew the end, like at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I knew she was the killer. Like, oops, my bad. Sorry for.
Oh, so she was the killer.
Yeah,
oh,
she was wow. the killer. Yeah. Okay. But I knew she was the killer within the first 10 seconds of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, nah, she's definitely the one.
So they couldn't hide it very well.
No.
So the storytelling sucks.
I wouldn't say it sucks. It's just I would have liked a little bit more of mystery.
Right. So if they give it away, if it's easy to figure it out. It's not a good script, I don't think.
Right. But I
mean, we'll see. We're going to talk to an author today.
Yeah.
And we have a publicist for authors here. So maybe they can help us with this, because storytelling is not easy, you know?
And I think it's different, because when you write a book, it's a little bit different than putting it into a script. Because 50 Shades of Grey was amazing, the first book. And their first movie, I was like, this is not even anything like the book.
Right.
It was horrible.
Yeah. Well, amazing book is only a relative term.
What, for 50 Shades?
50 Shades.
Did you ever read it?
Part of it, but no, it's
no, like, the first book was really good. I read it all in a week.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how good I was. Like, I need to know what happens.
Yeah,
I mean, the sex stuff was intense, but there's no intense sex stuff in the movie.
In the movie,
like,
yeah.
if they were really going to portray that movie should have been NC-17.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Well, they try. Yeah,
is that what it's called after it's rated R?
Yeah.
Nah.
It used to be called X-rated. Rated X.
Oh, rated X.
Rated X, yeah.
But that sounds like...
Like terrible, like porn, right?
Yeah, I was supposed to say that.
That's why porn, they call it triple X at the time, you know? So you'll know the difference.
I mean, that if they recreated the book, it would have been basically a porn.
Yeah.
But it would have been like too long, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know. I mean, it got the conversation going, which is good, you know, about sex and fetishes and things like that, you know.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is, even if the storytelling isn't that great, if someone puts a script in front of you and it's a movie, I'm taking
you're
the role.
You're taking it. What the hell?
I don't care. I don't care at all.
You're not that picky yet. Right?
No, I'm not Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, well, you will be. Just keep on doing it.
But she's done some pretty terrible movies too, and she fell off the face of the earth. I thought she was an amazing actress. She just hasn't done anything since Salt.
Yeah.
Did you even see that movie?
No.
It was pretty good. It was like she was just so skinny in it. It was hard to look at her.
Really?
Yeah.
That bad?
Yeah, like real bad. But she's beautiful. Hopefully she's gained some weight.
Well, yeah. Maybe she's just been too busy with the family and stuff and she can't do any work.
If you have kids, you eat more.
No. But as far as acting, you said she hasn't.
Oh, yeah. Anything. Well, she's like a... What are they called when they have like a... Oh, they do like charity work. Philanthropist.
A philanthropist.
Yeah, okay. So she is one of those. So I think that's what she does, like all, like full time.
Right.
Yeah, because she's so rich. It's like, why not?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, let her do.
See, that's why I respect her, because she's actually putting her money back. What do you hear about the Kardashians doing?
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Except meeting with President Trump.
I think she's done everything that she could have done in movies and maybe felt, you know, let me move on.
No, Meryl Streep's still going at it.
Right, but you know that's not. You know, some people have had enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine what that life is like. Because one day on set, like I did background work for Ted.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever see Ted?
Yes.
And just for one scene, I was there for 14 hours. And it was literally a 30-second scene. We just,
really?
Like, they filmed from like 20 different angles. And I was like, oh my God. As an extra, I was like, I can't even do this.
Really?
I like never did background work ever again. You get like $60 for 13 hours too.
Really?
If you're not SAG, forget it. But if you're part of SAG, you make a lot of money. You can make like $300 an hour or something.
Standing around.
Yeah. And if you go to like, so you take a lunch break and there's like two separate lines. Uh-huh. And if you're not part of SAG, they're like, are you part of SAG? I'll never forget. I was standing in the wrong line. And the person in front of me was like, are you part of SAG? And I was like, no. She's like, you need to eat over there.
Mm.
I was like, what? Yeah, I didn't like that.
Wow. Very strange.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now. We have a special guest, and we haven't had a guest in a few days.
Uh-huh.
And now we're bombarded with them. So.
That was a dramatic word.
So we're joined by author Autumn. Is it Door or Doer?
It's Door.
It is Door.
Yep.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Autumn.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Of course. What a pretty name. Were you born with that name or is that a...
I was born with that name.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Why do you think most authors change their name?
No, but Autumn is not a common name.
Well, what? I will say that I had a couple of different last names.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
For the books?
Door is my my mother's name, maiden name. So I took that after a couple of not so great fathers.
I see. Okay.
Oh, okay.
She's been through that journey,
gotcha,
too.
Now all of us are Doors.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's a cool last name.
Thank you.
Yeah. How many? Do you have kids?
No children for
no
me.
No children.
Mm, dogs.
Wow. Mm.
That's probably going to be me. I'm on that path.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I want like 10 dogs. Big backyard.
But she's been through a couple of marriages, you said, right?
No. Fathers.
Oh, father.
So her mom.
My mother's maiden name is Door.
Right.
Danny's on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's
so
what you meant.
So I changed my name from the other names to my mother's because she's rocking.
Right.
I see. Okay.
Right.
I thought you married other guys and
no.
You had two husbands or whatever. You
know? No, I got it from the beginning. I got it. Sam's a little slow. Sometimes.
Yeah, what am I today? No, I got to tell you, man, I'm like tired all the freaking time. I don't know what to do, you know? And I have like sleep apnea, you know, so it wakes you up.
He refuses to get surgery, so every time.
But they don't have surgery. I talk to the guy, and it's pretty much that CPAP machine.
You have to do the machine.
For you. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, but you want your sleep.
But you can't complain about being tired and not getting sleep if you're not willing to do what it takes to fix the problem.
That's true.
Thank you.
That's true. Well, some things I just won't do.
I understand.
I am not going to have a machine going all
think
night.
Think of all that oxygen going into your brain.
Right.
You'll feel so
bad. And well, is it just because you're on a machine that's throwing you off, or what's the issue?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a pleasant thing to think about. And you hear the sound of it, too, breathing, you know?
Right.
It's like terrible. Anyway, but the point is, yeah, I'm just tired, so it's hard for me to focus. Not really.
You're fine.
Not really, but I have an excuse.
He does have an excuse.
Danny has a very young brain.
Yeah. There sometimes I'll be forgetting stuff, though. It's weird.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
They just came out. There was an article on the news that said lady was cured. Her dementia was cured because of some new medicine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, wow.
She said she couldn't remember her husband, her grandkids, and then she started taking this new medicine, and she remembered. She woke up and remembered everything.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That runs in my family, so I get a little scared with that.
Oh, you're going to be all right. Your brain is fine.
I know, but sometimes I'll be forgetting stuff that happened. Like, my sister's like, you told me that story like 10 times already. I'm like, how did I not remember that?
It was a good story.
Touche. It probably was a good story. Speaking of stories, back to you.
Yeah, let's hear yours. You're an author. You wrote a book. We're going to talk about your book and everything. It's called The Baker's Dozen, and it takes place in San Francisco. Is that where you're from?
I lived there for 10 years in my 20s, and it was super fun in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about this earlier, and San Francisco is... I am in love with San Francisco.
Most people that go there think
it's
beautiful.
I hate San Francisco.
Why? Oh, why, Danny?
Honestly, I've actually never really experienced it, but I almost died there, so I'm like, I'm never going to go back.
Well, I wouldn't like it either. I'm sorry about that. But I loved it. I came from a little town in Alaska, and then when I got
to
the
Alaska?
City...
You're from Alaska?
I'm from Alaska.
Wait, Alaska's the place where it's like 6 months dark, 6 months light?
Just way up north. Where I'm from is, if you've ever taken a cruise,
right.
Go on a cruise to Alaska, the first town you get to is Ketchikan, and that's where I'm from. It's in the panhandle. It's way down on the side of Canada.
That's where people go missing with aliens, right?
That's right.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. There's been so many movies about it. People just disappear in Alaska. Well,
everything's Alaska now. All the reality shows, all the shows are in Alaska.
That's right. And now Virgin Airlines is now Alaskan Airlines. I'm like, why?
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they merged. There's no more Virgin Airlines. It's called Alaskan now.
Oh, that's really well. It is a great place. Alaska is great.
But very majestic. That's why I think it attracts a lot of filmmakers and
yeah, it's
like
beautiful
that,
you know? And it's full of a lot of strange people.
Right.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, how was it like a small town?
Tiny town. Tiny no stoplight. Tiny town. And so when I got to San Francisco.
What do you mean no stoplight?
They don't have.
Yeah, they don't have that many cars
that
you need them.
It's like a little fishing village.
Who else?
Like you just knew everyone in the neighborhood.
Yeah, everybody knew you too. Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. No, I couldn't do that.
Where are you from, Danny?
I'm from Boston.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a different thing.
In LA, you never have to see the same person twice.
Isn't that great?
Like, you won't see him again for like 10 years. It's like, oh, I remember you from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, coming from a small town, going to a city like San Francisco in the 80s, mind you, it was a really great place. This was really before Silicon Valley.
Right.
Yeah, I could afford to live there.
Right.
Working at a bakery, which is what the character in the book works at a bakery.
Right. Oh.
So if you can imagine that, affording an apartment in San Francisco, working at a bakery. So that's why. So I'm in love with San Francisco. So that's why I placed the book there because yeah. I loved it so much. And I can remember all of the stuff.
Right. You're familiar with the places and all the things.
Exactly.
And very cool.
That makes sense to write about a spot that you've lived for so long. Because you were there for 10 years?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a long time.
And they do say, you know, write about what you know. So it right. really does help to start there. And then your imagination can go. You don't have to make stuff up. Even though, you know, I think science fiction is really fun. But I haven't gotten there.
Like right. science fiction, yeah. like Star Wars type
oh, yeah.
stuff?
Yeah.
Like things that you haven't experienced or things like that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That's all pure imagination.
So what is your book about?
It's about a young woman named Lexi Fagan who works in a bakery. And she's just new to this town. So right. she's from a little town. She doesn't really know who she is. You know, when you're really young, it kind of... trying to figure out who you are.
I feel like no one ever knows who they are.
You
right?
do figure it out. You do kind of figure it out as you get. You just kind of have to.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like driving in L.A. Everyone in L.A. is actually a pretty good driver because we put in 10,000 hours like in a month. So, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like true. That. Mm-hmm. You're just living longer. You just figure stuff out.
Right, right.
It's all really kind of the only advantage to getting older.
Yeah. So yeah, there's an advantage to it. I
yeah,
don't know.
That is it. You yeah. kind of figure yeah. your stuff out. Yeah.
Right.
So she's young. She doesn't really know who she is. And she works in the bakery, and she starts dating a fireman, and he ends up dying in a fire.
Oh, that's awful.
It is awful. And then she gets caught up in this investigation because they're not sure if it was intentional, or you know. So that's the story. It's a mystery story, and she and her friends try to figure it out, which is the fun part.
Right. Wow, yeah. Wait, did this happen cool. to you?
No.
Oh. I was like, wait a second. Did this really happen?
This
oh,
is
no.
not a biography. She's a fiction writer.
Exactly. It yeah. is just a mystery.
Hey, sometimes you just take what you know and add a little bit of...
No, you're right, Danny. Because when I lived in San Francisco and I worked at the bakery, there was a hotel across the street called the Cathedral Hill Hotel that caught fire. Mm. And I was working when it was on fire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it did. That's what sparked my imagination. So mm-hmm. I thought, well, what if, you know, what if someone died and what if she was dead? And then it just went from there and I wrote.
Wow.
I wrote the mystery.
So how long does it take you to write a book like this?
I will tell you that it took me 6 years.
Whoa.
And if that doesn't inspire writers out there, I don't know what will. Just stick yeah. to it. Ask advice and you will be able to finish it.
Yeah, so you never give up even if you get stuck in the
exactly.
middle of something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you want to do it, you have to just keep it up. And I was working.
Right.
Yeah, I worked, so it wasn't like I was just sitting
yeah,
around
yeah,
not
yeah,
having
yeah.
ideas for yeah. 6 years. So I did. But it did take me a long time. I wrote, I was on a hiatus because I worked on reality shows.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah.
So I was on a hiatus and I got the idea and I wrote about 65 pages and I sent it to an editor and she said, Autumn, this is not a book. So she gave me a bunch of advice on how to turn it into a book. Well, it was kind of tough love. I kind of needed to hear it. And she also gave me the tools I needed to write it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So she didn't just say, you know, what are you trying to do? She was like, this isn't a book, but I'll show you how to make it a book.
Right.
And she really did. It was really helpful. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Wow.
Well, so what were you doing at the time?
Well, I've been on cooking shows, competition mm-hmm. shows. I worked on a show called Restaurant Stakeout, which was a bunch of fun.
Right.
What do you mean worked on? What did you do?
Oh,
what
I'm sorry. Oh, I've done. I've been a segment producer, a story producer, a field producer.
I want to be a story producer.
Oh, you'd like it.
Yeah.
It's telling stories.
I'm just like so like divish. I don't really want to start as a PA.
Oh, I never.
I want to skip the line.
I was never yeah. a PA.
I know. I just wrote. I actually worked on set like a couple weeks ago for like one day on the weekend and it was like a 13-hour day and I just assisted with makeup
mm-hmm.
but I kind of want to be one of those producers that sits in the chair and asks the questions for those green screen interviews because I feel like I've done it because I've done 11 shows myself. I just
yeah.
feel like I would know the exact questions
right.
to ask to get good footage.
It's true.
I just don't want to like pick up Starbucks coffee or take out the trash.
Well,
to get
again,
there.
You don't have to, Dane. I mean, I didn't. I started as an assistant, though.
Yeah.
So assistant is a good way to go if you don't want
to. See,
I
wouldn't mind being an assistant.
It's
I just
great.
Don't want to be like a PA.
Yeah.
Because no. they get treated like crap
well,
on like every
it's very
set.
Hard. It's hard. And you sounds like you already know how things work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why you want to be PA, is because you want to figure out how, what's everybody doing and what are they doing that I want to do.
Right.
Which you already figured out.
Right. Yeah. So. She wants shortcuts. She doesn't want to pay the her dues. She just want to get there.
Well, I paid my dues. I spent, I did 11 shows. I've been, I pay attention when I'm on the shows.
It's okay if you did 11 shows. Some people have done 111.
No one in this planet has done 111 shows.
Mm. Movies. Maybe.
Movies, yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, anyway. But they're all producers now. Everyone who's an actor tries to get into producing. Look at Ben Affleck. Mm. He's producing now. Directing, he tried to do Batman. That was trash.
All right. Well, it's not exactly where we're going with this conversation. How'd you get to Batman?
Just arguing with you. Making sure you're on your toes.
Okay.
Waking you up.
So, Lexi Fagan, so it's a Lexi Fagan mystery. In other words, are you going to make a series out of this?
Yes, I'm writing my second book now, and I'll have a third book. And in the second book, she leaves and she does something else. And in the third book, she goes back to Alaska because her parents died in a plane crash. In a plane crash.
Jeez, so much death around.
She was little.
This girl.
Yeah, well, it's a you have to have drama.
You really do. You know?
Yeah. So she goes back to her little town in Alaska. In the third book. Yeah.
Well, hopefully she finds some love in one of these, right?
She's always looking for love.
God. Yeah. So I'm assuming this book ends on a cliffhanger then. That leads into book number two or no?
Yes, yeah. You definitely want to stick with Lexi and find out what she's going to do next.
Yeah.
Very cool. How old is the character in the book?
She's 18. She's 18? Just, yeah, she just moved down from Alaska. She didn't go to college.
So she already fell in love with a fireman and everything? How old was a fireman?
Well, you know, he was a young fireman, or like in their 20s. Yeah, yeah, they're young. Yeah. He was young.
And 18-year-olds usually date older.
What?
Yeah. 18-year-olds usually date older.
Yeah, but, fireman, I would imagine maybe at least 25, 26.
Well, 18, 25?
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah, Danny.
Yeah, no, that's the ages my
back
parents
me up
married.
Here.
I got you, girl.
I think so.
But, yeah. But no, actually, my parents married at those ages, 25. My mom was 18 or 19.
Well,
or
that's
something.
Really young to get married.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
my
right?
parents got married around that age, too. My mom was 22.
So
my dad was, my mom was 24. My dad was 21.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Just think how young 18 is, you know?
Yeah, how immature.
We forget. It's like suddenly you're a person, you're an adult, but come on, man, you're a kid.
Well, I mean, if you never went to college and you've been living on your own, I guess 18, you could be like a full-blown adult.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, the whole point is, to me, and like you were saying, that, you know, you don't really know who you are. You're not fully formed.
No,
you know,
definitely
until you're
not.
Much older. I would say not until 30.
Yeah.
So part of the journey for Lexi in the book is that she is trying to figure out, you know, she's trying to figure out who to trust.
Right.
Who are her friends.
Right.
You know, how does she figure out, and how does she get pulled into a murder mystery, and then how does she survive, you know, because she's in danger, you know. So it's definitely about that process. That was interesting to me because that was me. I didn't know anything when I was 18. I couldn't believe I lived in San Francisco. I was like, I could have, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And so you remember San Francisco in the 80s, right?
Oh,
this is when this is taking place?
Yes, it does, which was really fun to write about. Walkman and phone booths.
Yeah. Oh, my God, phone booths. I don't even think they had that when I was a kid.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm really lucky because now young people and millennials, they love the 80s. They're so into the 80s and
the
90s.
Scrunchies are coming back.
Yeah.
The chokers
are coming back. Exactly.
Is this the 80s? Chokers?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
The chokers, sure.
The big ass scrunchies.
Yeah, I love it. I just love that they're, because when I was a kid, everyone was sort of, you know, in love with the 60s and the 50s, and I was never into that. You remember when the baby boomers ran everything?
Yeah.
And they told us what to watch and everything they
liked.
What's
a baby boomer? What's that?
Oh, they're.
That's a generation right before us, you know, where like World War II generation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
they'll be in
their 70s.
No, it's.
They're probably older than your parents.
Actually, I'm at the cusp of it, because I think it was like till 1964 or something.
I'm a cuspy, but I don't identify that much with them.
I know it's a different generation.
I like the look of the 50s, like the hairstyle and stuff.
Yeah.
What's nice now is that everything's in, right?
You can literally do anything you want.
Yeah, you can be wearing things that are from every single period.
Right.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, and you know, in LA, you can go to a fancy restaurant with torn jeans and nobody says anything.
No, nothing.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like that's LA fashion. You know, although it kind of sucks. I like to dress nicely, you know, and but Yeah, with the hot summers here, not much to
casual.
Wear for men. You
exactly.
know, just like
well, that's
t-shirt shorts.
Yeah,
know?
In San Francisco, I compare San Francisco to a cat, so it's very discerning, doesn't need you, and you know, it's very picky about food, so it's kind of snobby. And
right.
then L.A., when you come here, it's like a dog. It's like a big slobbery, love me dog. Like right. everything is so it's so casual. It's just, let's go outside and play. I mean, it's so different.
It's true.
And I like them both. I mean, I yeah. really needed to lighten up. To
right.
coming to LA because I was a little snobby and I would you know wear silk blouses to dinner. It was just ridiculous that it yeah. was a different time. And then here it's just you lighten up and the sun warms you up and you just get nicer
because San Francisco is like chilly, right?
It's cold.
Yeah,
yeah. It's cold.
Yeah, and gray a lot.
Yeah,
it definitely is. So that's the thing about LA that's so great. It's just it's so welcoming. Really,
yeah, yeah.
I think it's welcoming.
I feel like the state is welcoming, like the weather. I don't know if the people.
I think they're pretty. Are I don't know.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of great people here,
right.
but LA does have a bad rap. You know that it's like no. People are not friendly and they'll step over you and stuff like that. But it also depends where you meet these people. You
yes,
know what
right.
I'm saying?
It's a big place.
I mean, if you're like...
it is. A lot
it's
of
so big.
Yeah, because if you go into the industry and stuff, there's a lot of cutthroat competition and stuff.
And
know?
I think in the industry too, people are always worried that someone's going to come in real quick and take their spot. So it's just
right.
like... Everyone always has their guard up.
Yeah.
I think that's true. But what I find when I was working in television is that it's the best of the best people.
Yeah.
So if you're here or in New York, you're working with the top in yeah. every field. So
right.
you can learn so much. That's why you can just be on a set. Danny could be on a set and be learning like what's done and how it's done quickly because they're run really well. I mean, time is money. So
right.
yeah.
it has to run well. It has right. to work well. And people have to be at the top of their game.
Right. Yeah.
So there's, you know, it can be intimidating, but it can also be a great learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us about the move from Alaska to San Francisco. Did you move by yourself or
no,
was that with the family?
Moved down. Yeah, we all
the
moved
family
down.
Finally decided that's it with the snow and
well,
and
it's
all that,
not
right?
a great place to not have any money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just there's nothing to do.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there is anything to
nothing
do.
No,
to
it's
do.
A place you go to die or something.
And that doesn't even sound like an enjoyable place to die.
Well, you really want to visit. It really is stunning. Like if you yeah. ever take, if you want to go on a trip, Alaska is.
But
gorgeous.
I am correct where there's a part where it's dark for 6 months straight.
Yes, way up north. But,
so
you know it's
yeah,
very,
but that's very north.
Have
yeah.
you seen
yeah.
the movie The Proposal with Sandra Bullock?
No, I bet. I would
and
love it.
Ryan. God. Reynolds,
yeah.
They went to Alaska
yeah.
and it was like light out the entire
right,
time, so they
right.
had to have those curtains that like went up at night.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like,
you
I couldn't
see,
do that.
You should see Insomnia with Al Pacino. Same thing.
I think yes. I have seen that.
Really, same thing. You know, he tries to sleep and the sun's
right.
out all the time.
Well,
he was a killer though, right?
No,
I don't
he
know.
Was a detective.
Oh, no more spoilers.
No, he was a detective.
But I will say it did stay light in the summer till like 11. Like it was
at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. But that's you know it's different than we got a little bit of
yeah, yeah.
yeah
right.
Summers it's true. It is. It's
yeah.
very
yeah.
light.
So you moved to San Francisco and what were you doing there? You said you were working
at a bakery
before.
I did.
Yeah, but then later. Like more recently, let's say, while you've been writing the book and stuff, you said.
Oh, so then, well, I moved down here because.
What is your line of work, in other words,
I
before
was
being a writer?
A reality producer, which also requires writing.
Yeah,
a
lot,
yeah.
as Danny will tell
so
you.
So how did you become that? How did you get that kind of a
You
career?
Know, I eventually went to college. So when I was in my 30s, I went to college. Finally, it took like 10 years of night school, and then I finally got into a college in Northern California in Oakland, Mills College, which is a great college.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to get into television, and so the only places to go are New York and L.A.,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and New York is hard to live in.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
It yeah. has even more expensive than L.A.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. So I thought, and I didn't know anybody, so I knew a couple yeah. people in L.A., so I moved here, and I was very lucky. I got a job as an assistant
mm-hmm.
with a wonderful person, and if you get in with good people and they like you, you keep working. So
yeah. Yeah.
I went from one show to the other. And then I really decided that I needed to move out of television because I'm too old for
yeah.
for freelance work.
Yeah.
It's like you work for 6 months.
Yeah, and then
you're
off for 6 months.
Exactly.
It's like, ugh.
It was too much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
then I started, you know, investing in myself and writing.
Very cool. So
yeah.
finding time to write as well and stuff. Now, did you did you have like the story in you, did you feel that, well, I'm going to write a book, what am I going to write about? Or was it, you know what, I really have this thing in my mind, let me write a book?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question because I did just think of the story and started to write, and then I was talking to other authors, and they were saying, you know, cozy mysteries are huge, and cozy mysteries have a very loyal audience, and they're women, and they're basically about a small town,
right,
where an amateur woman, she's sort of a baker, or she has a winery or something pretty, and she has to figure out this murder. So they have a formula. They also have very little sex or violence. So when I'm starting to write the book, and you know, the most fun thing to write is a fight scene. Like, it's
right.
really fun to write
right.
sex scenes and fight scenes.
Yeah.
So I couldn't write a cozy. Yeah. So I call this book an urban cozy because it takes place in a city.
Right.
And it does have a little sex and a little violence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is the ingredients for a good book.
That's what I think.
Right. So there's a genre called cozy.
Yeah. Mysteries. They're huge. And in fact, on Hallmark Channel, they're almost all... They're doing cozy mysteries.
I watch Hallmark and Lifetime. I'm guilty.
There you
it's
go.
It's like my guilty
so
pleasure.
Seen
but the
somebody.
Acting is so bad, but I can't stop watching them.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They make a ton.
Wouldn't you say like 50 Shades is kind of like that too?
No.
No?
No, no, no.
No?
50 Shades
That's
is not
a cozy?
No.
It's a sexy what? Cozy.
I know. Well, you said there's sex in it.
No. There's too much sex.
Okay.
Yeah, like the whole book is like 90%.
Right.
It's like literally, but it's like graphic. Like graphic.
Yeah. Because I'm just picturing the women that read the books and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think women that you wouldn't even expect to read the book are reading the book.
Yeah.
I think that's it turns true. Them on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like in a low key, like nobody knows, but yeah.
Exactly.
So you're saying there's a little sex in your book,
little
not
sex
a lot.
In the book. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it
you
is.
You don't really get into the details, though. It's not necessary for the plot, right?
No, it's just because all that stuff is fun to write. And I also wanted her to have, you know, a connection to the fireman because things happen really quickly
right.
in the book. It's a page turner. It's definitely a summer read.
Yeah, and I feel like if you didn't talk about sex, it'd be like, okay, so their relationship is just emotional.
Yeah, people wouldn't understand why would she really invest in trying to figure out what happened to this guy when they, you know, they haven't even hooked up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
So there's got to be that.
Because in real life, if you haven't hooked up and a tragedy happens, it's like, oh, well, it had potential.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. No memories. No big memories.
Yeah.
Very cool. So it's fun to write.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. It really is.
So do you think it's going to take you 12 years to write the next two books?
Oh, no. I have to be done.
Already, yeah, because now she owes it to the readers.
Yeah.
You know, to follow up quickly.
And I also figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
So that was 6 years.
It was like trial and error, right?
Exactly. I was trying to, you have to figure out how to write dialogue, and then you have to, you know, look how to introduce characters, and you know, it is a thing to learn.
Yeah, you have to learn. It's
yes.
It's an art and a science probably too, right? As far as
I think it's more of an art because there's so many ways to do it. It's kind of like reality TV. There's so many ways to tell a story,
right?
But you did say there's formulas and things like that. That's where my
yes, the formula. I mean, mysteries are definitely a formula. Really? And it was funny because I was writing it, I was thinking, why did you do a mystery? They're like the hardest things to write because you have to introduce characters who are suspects, and then you have to, you know, make sure that you get them off the hook,
right?
And then you have to
make them all suspicious in the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. It actually is really difficult.
And then you have
genre.
To keep the intensity throughout the whole book so people are like, meh.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You have to have, it has to be a page turner.
Right. That's all my mom reads. She has like bookshelves and bookshelves and bookshelves of mystery books.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a book for her.
Yeah, literally.
You got to give her this book.
So like
for
yes,
sure.
That would be
her
great.
And my dad just recently split, so she got all the time in the world to read.
Okay. I hope she likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So this is San Francisco in the 80s. Do you give a feeling of some of that with maybe some references to the music and
culture
and things
like
that?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I do. I have like a little Talking Heads.
Really?
And, that is also super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she goes to Tower Records. You remember Tower Records?
Of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Tower
we
Records.
We still have one here, but there's no records in there. And Sunset, it's still there, and it's just Tower Records. But
just empty?
Yeah, it's been empty for 10 years?
Break your heart.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, Tower.
But yeah, so of course we remember Tower Records.
Yeah.
So that was in San Francisco.
Exactly. She went there. I think it started in Sacramento, but they had one right near the, where was it, like Fisherman's Wharf-y area? Anyway, it was, and I used to, when I lived there, I would go there on a Saturday, and I would go to the Tower Records. I spent all day there. It was just like the best. You know, you'd buy your tapes.
Yeah.
Records. Oh my God, there's no stores
albums.
Like that anymore.
No, there aren't. There's a lot of stores that are gone, you know? But that's another story altogether. You know, we owe it all to
technology.
Ourselves and Amazon.
Exactly.
You know? That's pretty much. We've built the monster. Now
exactly.
We have to deal with it. You
yeah,
know?
Well, I have to say, my
Very
book is available
bookstores.
On Amazon, so I can't. I'm like,
Yeah, but it still would be another bookseller.
This is easy.
Too,
and
know?
Then you get the 2-day shipping, yeah. So it's like, beats going to the store. Looking for parking.
I don't know. It was so much fun. It was a thing to
it
do.
Was,
you know,
yeah.
You would go there and you'd spend time in the. It was a big store,
right.
With the records. You just found things you wouldn't expect to find. It was like a discovery. It was a
well. Let's put it this way: the mall. When you went to the mall, there was more than just the clothing and the restaurants
right.
and stuff. You know,
there what do you mean?
There were bookstores in the mall.
Oh,
now
really?
You don't find them anymore.
Yeah, that's a no.
Record stores, video stores,
yeah.
Toy stores.
I mean, I do remember record stores when I was a kid because my dad would take me in there to get like cassette tapes. Like when Bad Boys came out, he got me my first cassette tape. Was like the Bad Boys cassette, and then like when you had to like fast forward and rewind, then you went too far. You're like in the middle of the song, you had to rewind again.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
And mixtapes.
Yeah.
We used to make mixtapes for people we loved. You'd make a special mixtape.
With a little note in the front.
Oh, yeah.
Now they don't even make CDs anymore.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
You can't even make
but
a mixtape.
But, you know, they still make DVDs, so I buy them just so I have some on my shelves.
Right.
Because, you know what?
They might be vintage like, and worth a lot of money one day.
And I got to tell you, it's the same with books. First of all, I love printed books, okay? I mean, the Kindle is fine. And I've used it for a while, but there's nothing like a physical book because I grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way it smells. I like the way it feels. If it's thin, I like it. If it's thick, I like it. You know, it's like you develop sort of like a relationship with books, okay? So then, you know, I realized if I read on the Kindle, they all go into oblivion, you know?
Right.
It's like if I want to see now what books did I read, you know, if I have them on my shelf, it's a whole different thing altogether.
Right. You
right?
have your memory right there. I
right.
still have my bookshelf. I love
So I hope
books.
The books don't go away. And like I said, I started buying DVDs.
I don't think they will.
Because I started buying DVDs, although I don't really have to. I can stream the movies.
Of course.
But for about the same price, I can have the box.
Exactly.
You know?
I think it is affecting our memories
thing.
To not have those visual references anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not only... visual, but it's also tactile. You know, I mean, we want to hold things. Everything now is virtual.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is real.
I don't really like the Kindle because I feel like in a book, like if you have to like get up and go to the bathroom or cook dinner and it, while you're reading, you can put your bookmark in it. And Kindle, it's like you gotta just like go find the last sentence you wrote.
No, Kindle, you can mark exactly where you stop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to use it then.
No, you don't. But no, it's easier than a regular book.
I'm giving you a physical book, Danny.
Yeah. I bet you she never even picked up a goddamn Kindle.
Oh, that's
you're funny.
That
you
was
see,
really
that's why she's good, so good on the show. Sometimes she has brain farts that are unbelievable.
Oh,
but,
yeah, moving right along.
Yeah. But so this is cool. Now, so she's 18. Are there any other main characters in the book?
There are. So one of my...
Obviously her squad.
Like
yeah, she has a squad, but her squad are these bakery customers. So she doesn't have a lot of friends because she's pretty new and she's a little shy. So she makes these friends at the bakery and they all help her out with this mystery. And one of them's a jazz singer. One of them is an actual jazz singer named Stella Brooks, who would sing in, you know, the Purple Onion and stuff in San Francisco in the 50s. And when I worked at the bakery, she was a customer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she looked like Edith Head. You know, she had the black hair and the little bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the bob look.
She was wonderful. She was great. She was so scrappy and...
So
I actually named one of the characters after her because I just loved her
cool.
so much.
Yeah. So it's great because you experienced a lot of what you're writing in the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like based on personal experiences and stuff and that would be the easiest to write about because you've been through it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And also, you know, they
and
were...
nobody would have the exact same unique experience that you
right.
did.
Right.
You know?
And they were eccentric. I mean, the people that I met, San Francisco is full of eccentrics, kind
yes.
of like Alaska.
Right.
Full of eccentrics. So it's one of the reasons I love it so much.
Yeah.
Or loved it. I really don't know what it's like now.
Yeah.
Silicon Valley.
Have you been back, though?
I have. I do go as much as I can because I really love it. But not living there, I don't.
It's different,
when you're just going to visit.
Yeah.
I feel. Anywhere is different if you're just going to visit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like a lot of the freedom and the stuff like that. You know, it's too liberal for me. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when we were able to, I went to visit my son, and we're like going to the park, Dolores Park, you know.
Yeah.
And you've seen people there smoking weed, and the cops are right there. Nobody says anything. Nobody does anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, what a cool place to live.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the least of their worries with all of the... You know, the homeless is really bad problem.
Oh, in San Francisco? Yeah. It's same with downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. My God.
I think it's just a problem on the...
Yeah.
Problem now, period.
I know. I don't know. How are they going to fix this? Do you...
I have no
we
idea.
We need to...
It's like, it's not really a... I don't feel like it's a problem that can be fixed. Because, like, you can't be like, get out of town. Like,
there's no place for them to go. No. Well, housing would be
but
good.
Yeah,
they
you
the
help
housing.
With them. You know, you help. You put some resources into
exactly, resources.
These people, you know, because I would say, most if not all are mentally ill, you know, because I think a normal healthy person would not end up on the street.
Well, I mean, I think there's a percentage that is the hardcore mentally ill, and then there's another group that just could not afford their lives. Like if you're on the poverty line and you get a parking ticket or something that you can't pay, you know, I mean, things just add up, and then
that's
eventually
true.
You're one paycheck away from the streets. I just think there's a lot of people like that now.
Yeah.
But even back in the 80s, there was a homeless problem in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they all hung around the city hall, which they still do. So there's a Tenderloin district, which is in the book, where she walks down to go to the bank, and there are a lot of homeless people there and drug addicts and stuff. But
that's one view of San Francisco, but thankfully there's a lot of great
there. And you know what, they have so much money, they really probably could tackle it, so I think they might. They have a new mayor, so good luck to her.
There you go.
Hopefully everything works out.
I think
in the
she
end.
Can do it.
Yeah So, cozy mystery. I like that. You know, why did they call it that? Because you get cozy with a book?
That's right. There's usually a cat on the cover.
Really?
Yeah. They're a whole thing, and they're really great. So, it's funny. I've tried so hard to write a cozy. But, you know, the other thing is they read them fast, and then your next book has to come out right away. And
really?
Yeah. Still, they just eat them up. They just read them. So
that's cool.
I'm hoping to popularize the urban cozy.
Right. I'm sure you will.
Why not?
We have faith in you.
Thank you.
So is this going to be like, have you estimated how many books you want to write, or is it like a trilogy?
Well,
or
this
something?
Is a trilogy.
It is
definitely a trilogy. And when you write on the back that the next books are going to be this, you better deliver. So
yeah,
I'm
right?
working on that. Yeah.
So you got the second book that you're working on. What about the third? Are you working on that simultaneously?
I'm actually doing them both at the same time.
Wow,
yeah.
That's cool. So just writing the one story and then cutting it in half, but it's separate
oh,
stories.
Oh no, they're separate stories. She moves on, and there's new characters, and I bring the old characters that people will like back, just to, so she kind of catches up with them. Because I was just going to leave them go and start new. She starts a new thing, new job, and then this is a new adventure. And people
and
are like,
another
no,
person
no.
dies in her life.
Yeah, because people get invested in characters. So.
Totally. So they were like, you got to bring them back. So I said, okay, I'll do that.
Right.
I'll bring them
Unless
back.
One of them dies off, it's like, you got to bring them back.
Well, they say in mysteries, if you need more to write about, have another murder.
Yeah, literally. A murder is always good.
A murder will
somebody dying it will do it do
always
the train.
Works right
it does
wow yeah I know I love mysteries, you know, where you have to really find out you know what's going on, like behind the scene, like what's below the surface of everything, you know.
Right.
And that's pretty cool. Have you considered writing any nonfiction too? I mean, you obviously love to write, right?
I do love to write.
Do you have anything?
Really.
You don't want to like express your opinions or anything in a nonfiction way?
Oh, not really.
No. How about writing about San Francisco?
Well, the second book,
so you put
it takes
it
place
in
San Francisco, yeah. But, you know, it's funny because I think... I'm from the generation, I think you are too, where, you know, everyone's opinion wasn't... Like, nobody cared. Nobody cared what he was bought.
I think they still don't.
No, I think young people, they give their opinions. They're open about everything. And
I think it's different now. Like, totally for me, different. It's like, I feel like I have no problem just putting all my business out there. Yeah. Like, it's just, like, I actually had this conversation yesterday because some girl was like, I'm just, like, really private. She goes, I admire the fact that you can make a YouTube saying, like, hey, this happened this past weekend and blah, blah, blah. She's like, I just couldn't put myself out there. But I feel like this generation definitely has more people people that are like just willing to bear it all.
Yeah, for sure.
They're sharers. Know.
I wrote a book.
You did, honey?
Yeah, it's just sitting on my computer, though. I don't know what to do with it. Someone actually told me that I should change the title. It's called Don't Be That Bitch. But the
I like the title.
I was like,
today, all these titles seem to go just fine, you know?
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I'm reading a book right now called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. It's actually so good.
Right.
So good.
That's the book that started all this, I think, with all these.
No, this is actually pretty new.
I think it's a bestseller.
He hit the list. Yeah.
No, it is pretty new. But what I'm saying is now all the books come out with
titles. No, you know what started it? Why Men Love Bitches. She put bitches in the title.
Oh, okay.
I read that book like three times, and I just can't remember any of the advice she's giving me.
Well, now you have new advice.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do with your book?
I don't know. I had a ghostwriter, but she like fell off the... She hasn't even like texted me. So I wrote it in 2012, and it was just something I wanted to do, and it was horrible. I didn't edit it. I just posted it on Amazon, and it was really bad. It honestly looked like a textbook that you would get in class and like just throw in the trash. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I actually want to redo it, but like add some comedy to it. So I got this ghostwriter who's a comedian, and she took my original stuff, added some stuff, then I would read her chapter and add some more, and we would just bounce off each other. So it's been done since November. I just don't know what to do with it.
Well,
but somebody told me to change.
Yeah, get it out there. You see, you have connections.
And when we were sitting on the couch, she was like, I honestly think this could be on the bestsellers list because it's like catchy. It's like everything that I've done wrong in relationships, because I'm horrible at dating, but I know that I'm horrible at dating, so I don't want anyone to do the same stuff. But we added like some funny stuff to
it.
But
like
she I wonder if she's still alive. She hasn't even like texted me about it.
Who knows?
Well, it's time to move on. Or you just go the next step.
Yeah, exactly. And you do what you have to do, you know. Here you have a publicist, a writer, talent, you know, she knows what it takes. So she'll tell you right away to throw it in the trash or let's do something.
Yeah, that's true. I can send you a chapter.
Will you, Desiree, tell her the truth? Yeah. Well, we're going to tell you who the publicist is in just a moment. But I wanted to sort of wrap up with Autumn. We're talking to Autumn Doerr. And the book is Baker's Dozen, Alexei Fagin Mystery. And so this is a story about an 18-year-old girl. Is she like a San Francisco native?
No, she just got there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You are tired, sweetie.
She just got there. She's trying to discover herself. She falls in love with a firefighter. He ends up murdered.
That I know.
Her and her squad are trying to figure out the murder.
Where did she move from?
Alaska.
She did?
Yes. Yeah.
I know you did, but
so did she. Surprise, surprise.
I thought she moved back to Alaska later.
No, in her third book.
Oh, Danny, you are on it. So
you see, I'm totally like confusing everything. Well, that's why you guys should pick up the book. Don't listen to anything I say because I don't know where I am.
It's okay.
But at any rate, Autumn, where can people find you, contact you?
They can find the book on Amazon. Just look under my name, Autumn Doerr. Doerr is Doerr. Doerr. So, and also you can go to my webpage, which is autumndoerr.com. And it's a great summer read. So I hope you all pick it up.
So just a quick question before we go. Are you a natural redhead or did you dye your hair red because your name's Autumn?
I'm a natural.
Okay. So that's why your parents probably... Oh, well, you had no hair when you were born, probably.
Actually, the truth is I had white hair. I had like, they called it a blonde head. Toeheads is kind of white. Have you seen Toeheads?
Well, no, I'm going to have to Google that. I've never heard that before in my life.
Look it up. Very white hair. Crazy. And then it turned red.
Wow. I wish I had red hair.
Oh, your hair is really nice, Danny.
I'm wearing extensions, but thank you.
You don't get credit for extensions?
No. It's real hair. It's just not mine.
Oh, well, whatever works. You know?
The sharing generation.
Yeah. I could have kept that a secret, but I didn't.
And of course, you guys can get it in print, paperback, or Kindle. Just go to Amazon and do that. How about on social media? Can people follow you there?
Facebook, Autumn Doerr author.
Okay.
And I have a Twitter.
Yes, you do. I think it's at Lexi.
Get closer.
Fagin.
My publicist will tell you.
Yeah, I believe off the top of my head, at Lexi Fagin, but I know I find you on Twitter when I search your name.
Okay, so Autumn
Doerr. And you're
on Instagram,
too.
That's all you guys got to do,
You got to be on everything these days.
I'm on everything, but it's all under my name, so if you know my name, you'll find me.
Right. Exactly.
And you're listening to Desiree Duffy. That's the publicist. She's the founder of Black Chateau. Desiree, what's Black Chateau? Tell us real quick.
Oh, Oh, sure. It's my company. We do PR and marketing for books and authors and personality brands.
Okay.
So it sounds like it's right up my alley. Boop, boop. Parking in your garage, girl. Hmm?
Exactly. You know? Just don't bring the U-Haul with you. That's awesome. And Desiree, so people can find you at Black Chateau, right?
Yes.
Do you have a website or social media that you...
I have all of it. BlackChateauEnterprises.com is the website. Or if you just Google Black Chateau, I know SEO, so we're optimized very well. We're on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Instagram, we're all over the place.
There you go. And if you want a great person to help you, and you're a writer yourself, mm-hmm. and so you guys know you're in good hands. And Desiree sent us some great authors, including Autumn. Autumn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to meet you both.
Of course. And much success to you. You know, we wish you a lot of success. Come back with the second one, the third one.
Absolutely will.
You know, we'll talk about that and we'll see what happens in Alaska when she goes back.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.